Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. Today is Thursday, April 6, 2017. It is 2 p.m. This is the general discussion of the Board of Commissioners. We have one item on the agenda other than other, which is EMS Board Recommendation for ASA Agreement, American Ambulance Service. What is ACE?
Ambulance Service Area Assignment.
Assignment.
Say that again.
Ambulance Service Area Assignment.
So the Emergency Medical Services Board has given me a letter, and they recommend to the Board of County Commissioners that the Board of County Commissioners renew the assignment of ASAs as they currently exist, so that the expiration of the ASA assignments coincides with the expiration of the EMS contract. Right now, there's a 2-year gap.
The assignment is for 3 years. The contract is for 5. We're at the 3-year mark. Yeah. We're approaching it, that is.
And the current agreement expires on June 30th.
So we just reassign it for 2 years?
Correct.
To match the agreement. And then
correct.
And then it would be every 2 years from then on.
Five. We decided it'd be more administratively efficient to look at everything all at once.
Well, that sounds good.
Right, exactly.
It just feels like they do something. When I first got in here, we did it. Something I would do, and that was a comp you guys work really, really hard on. They find people through every element of the service agreement, and how many times they're running back and forth from Cave Junction to Grants Pass, and how many per resident, or all that stuff. So, this sounds good. I don't know. Much more. There's no changes in this by extending it for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed. Same thing. Sounds good.
Now, there was a previous letter that the EMS board issued. They've already, when we had our weather event in this year, they noted some changes that they want to make to the contract. Eventually, I gave Commissioner Morgan a copy of that letter with those recommendations.
Okay.
I told her I was going to present both today. However, for the sake of simplicity and clarity,
sure.
I'm just presenting that one letter
so
that you know my liaison has a copy of both.
Okay, excellent. Sounds good.
And the other takeaway there is that the board down the line is going to want to make some changes to the contract next go around.
Okay. Yes.
As a consequence of the weather event.
Correct.
So.
Sure. Sounds good. All right. We don't need to make those changes ahead of time or know about them?
Okay.
Sounds good, so we can move. Just move forward on this, and we have to move to WBS, I would imagine.
I would think so.
Okay. So are you wanting that done at this next one, or is this did someone before June?
Preferably before June.
Yeah, okay. So whatever kind of paperwork you guys need to
look at for that.
No, we'll get it done.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, excellent.
Perfect. Thank you.
We didn't know how long this is going to take. The background information is going to be settled.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I think they probably have.
Yeah.
Can you just keep it? Or do you need a copy? You don't need one. You need
one. We need. You need
I don't think we have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks all.
Before this meeting, I met with an organization called Grace Roots, Pathways to Wellness. I think they had met with maybe the board individually or something. I'm not really sure what. We met with Archie Leidy beforehand, and he'd reached out about some facilities that were coming available.
That's a Scholastic.
Yeah, the Scholastic building, but now they're looking at both, wanting both buildings.
Well,
a male and female
I was at an SOS meeting, gosh, a month and a half ago, and that came up. Mm-hmm. So she's next. So.
Okay.
But now they want both buildings. I've got a tomorrow with him at about 10 o'clock for 15 minutes. So do we want to hear from him as the board instead of individually?
I think we did. My concern is that it just feels ad hoc. There's no real, first you want one, or you may want one, now you want both. I totally agree that there's a need, and I totally agree that, you know, that we could probably help in that manner, but there's no,
I don't know how much of a strategy. And then there's an ask of the state legislature for about $1 million to start this up for a year or two. And I don't know very much about it, so I guess I'm kind of I wish I had a lot of questions, but I don't even know what to ask necessarily. So
should we just? I think it wouldn't be out of the ordinary to ask what their mission statement is and what they do. I don't know what they do.
Yeah.
I know there was some concern about a couple of their staff members, and they have resigned, I think. I don't know.
You may have been sitting in the meeting. I don't know who that is.
I don't know either.
There were a number of board members, I think, present and stuff. The chair was not Jay Meredith. So. But they certainly have a star-studded steering committee, so it'll be interesting. I don't know.
Well, I guess I should just keep that appointment with Archie tomorrow.
Yeah.
And just see what he has to say, and maybe he's okay. We'll do it that way.
Okay, sounds good. Jen, Ms. Hall.
Under other, are we to other?
I think so.
Okay. Jenny is here to talk about forest reclassification.
Forest reclassification.
Forest land reclassification.
Forest land.
For Oregon Department of Forestry. So I believe you maybe weren't here, but Tyler McCarty came and met with Commissioners Morgan and Young about a project that they have to do every so often, and essentially what they're doing is reassessing the lands that they protect to make sure that their assessment is correct, assessment meaning money. And so as maybe you met with Dave and Lee, or Dave and Tyler last week.
Holdings?
No, it is Oregon Department of Forestry.
No, they protect our forest lands for about $90,000 a year. So they're looking to make sure that the evaluation of what they're charging us per acre, which is about $3, is accurate or countywide?
My understanding is that they're looking to ensure that all properties that should be assessed are being assessed, not setting a tax rate. But Commissioner DeYoung met with Dave Larson and Tyler McCarty last week on the issue.
Okay.
So basically, I think they were talking about to make sure that classification, and I was led to believe it's on private land and everything. For instance, you get a forestry wildland fires type thing, and it's just basically fire insurance that the Oregon Department of Forestry will come onto your land and put it out, and this and that and the other. But the classification goes to I guess how much timber you have, and whether you're fire wise or not. And I think that's what they're trying to do there, is trying to update that whole thing.
I don't believe it's been done since the 60s. And so some of it, we've had the discussions about the green area, which is where ODF doesn't protect, and therefore fire season regulations don't apply. And way back in the day, I think that they were much larger pieces of land, and so they've since been parceled off. The assessment has stayed with that original piece of property, and so there's a number of pieces that were parceled off that should be assessed that aren't
that being
assessed.
That are now no longer green, and so therefore should be assessed.
And so they are they're doing this in Jackson County as well. They have to form a board. They'd like it to be a regional board instead of two different boards, really economy of scale. And so they need, I believe, a letter from you. Tyler McCarty has emailed you guys on it, but it probably wouldn't have been meaningful to you because you missed that first meeting.
I received a letter from Tyler.
Do you wish to have them come in and speak to the whole board?
It sounds like they already did.
They did, at the beginning of January, to ask for what they needed going forward, and I believe it was a letter from the board.
Yeah.
Letter from the board saying what? Because, I mean, if they're providing the service to private public as well, because doesn't the BLM, Forest Service contracts with the BLM to provide fire protection?
ODF contracts with BLM to provide fire protection, but it's not on
Forest
BLM.
Forest Service does its own.
Not on BLM.
Forest Service does its own, yes. and ODF provides that protection on BLM land. This is for private land.
Right. So do they need...
What do they need? Our
I believe they need a letter. I can get you the specific details. I'm here mainly just to make sure that the topic moves forward, but I'm not the expert on it.
How did it get scheduled without me here?
Well, you were scheduled to be here, and then at the last minute you weren't here.
Sounds good.
And, well, we had scheduled it in advance, yeah. And...
No, it's a big issue. I mean, it costs just us, the county, roughly $90,000 a year to insure. And it'd be interesting to see about whether or not we could adjust to ours, because we're paying for about 5,000 acres, of which we would not care if it burned. Of course, there's still the liability of a fire, and the fires don't respect property lines, so it doesn't just stop, but we don't want it to burn.
Well, it pays for fire protection, and if we don't have fire protection on our land catches on fire and burns somebody else's.
It's really a revenue. It's an accurate revenue generating for ODF. Their budgets are being cut, and this is a very wise way to adjust and make sure. It's like us doing assessments on taxation. They're making sure that their rates are reflective of their responsibility.
At some point in time, they're going to have to go out there and do this, and they want to make sure that they're adequately funded to make sure that can happen.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
And what they're charging didn't seem to me like it would be enough to put out much of a fire, but collectively it might be.
Well, ideally, ODF should be managing its portfolio of forest lands to where it's generating excess revenue to get back to the common school fund and pay for its services, and not be operating based on solely off, you know, just the private sector paying for this. I know that sounds ideal, but it worked pretty well for probably, I don't know, 30 years, 50 years.
One of the things they mentioned when we were visiting is that the cost of fighting fires, it used to be you sent fire crews up because you could get to it because of the roads.
Yeah.
Now there is no more roads. A lot of the roads on Forest Service land and all over the county have all been decommissioned.
Or not maintained
and ripped up. So we rely more on tankers and helicopters and airdrops, and those are quite expensive in comparison to a fire crew.
Yeah, I think you were talking about that on the Bill Myers show, and it's true. We have an example of the Douglas Complex. They spent $1 million in 10 days opening up roads, getting access to that. The roads were still there. They were just so overgrown. They were spending 10 days not fighting a fire, just getting access to it when it was growing. And Chief Oak will tell you it doubles in size every 30 seconds. That's a home fire, a residential fire. I don't think a wildland fire has that same principle, but it doesn't get any smaller. That 10 days those crews weren't working on it, it's just ridiculous. So, well, let's figure out what the details of that letter need to be, and let's get it moving forward so that they can do that assessment. So I think it's really important from the example of the last situation where all we did was opt out of a situation. When we write this letter and we say we're giving ODF blah, 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 whatever, we're forming a board, what have you, ODF needs to know that the public needs to understand this really, really well, and it's their job to run point on PR for this issue. I don't want it. It will inevitably come back to the board as doing something that we shouldn't be doing, but I don't see how we can not do this or why it's in anybody's best interest to not do it. So
it's not like we're placing a fee. We're just making sure that fee is accurate.
Right. Sounds
good. Correct?
I think in some cases they're placing a fee.
Yeah, because there's some that came out of the green area.
Right.
Green room, and now they're eligible.
Correct. So in some cases, an assessment will be established where there hasn't been one before.
It's going to take more than just knowing the details of what this letter is going to be. I need to know this issue. You know, I kind of skirted on the last one. Do I really know the conflict resolution? No, I really don't care. It was something that we've done for since 2011. I inherited it. It's worked perfectly. I've never heard a complaint about it. It does everything just fine. And yesterday, I had to spend 3-4 hours becoming an expert on the subject. So it doesn't pay to not become. When somebody's going to ask me about this issue, I'm going to need to know. So I don't know if I need to just sit down with Tyler. I'm happy to go up to ODF and just walk me through it. Let's kick some tires and you tell me what we're doing here, and then we'll go from there.
I think that
would
be great.
And I'm happy to go up there. He's already coming here. He doesn't need to make a special trip and take time out of his day. I'll jump to wherever I need to here or Medford. So
okay.
Let me know. Let him know that I'm available for that, if you wouldn't mind.
Not at all.
And we'll get it moving forward.
Perfect. Thank you. Moving forward is what we want.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we got approval from the board to extend your the CWPP contract this morning.
Perfect.
So that'll be done. So we'll move it out to the end of June.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Do you have anything? Short and sweet.
No, not right yet. I've got a ton of these evening things coming up and weekends and stuff, which is good. And in my mind, you know, it's good because people are asking and they want to know. They're seeking information, and that's a good thing.
Right.
Neighborhood watches for, and I don't know if somebody put out neighborhood watches, but we've got two or three of those coming up.
Wow. Those are really involved.
I'm doing one tonight, a neighborhood watch group, and there's probably 30 people.
Mm-hmm. Those are the most involved people in our community.
Yeah, they are.
They really,
you know, they've already shown an interest,
yeah.
and then they can be, you know, the ambassadors or whatever you want.
Great. Is the card pretty much done? Ready to go?
I think it is. I was going to run down and see how it's, because, and another thing is that Connie was going to ask the printer about our flyer.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be done by Friday. So
yes,
we've
absolutely.
Got all that.
Yeah, it's all got to be
dialed in.
I think she was going to make sure the card got started yesterday or day before.
Oh,
okay. But I want to make sure that we have our, see what the information is on that, on the back sheet.
I was trying to think about a particular day of the week that makes sense to have it mailed. That could be asking too much, but there is a day of the week, I just haven't figured out exactly which one, where people are most predisposed to reading the mail on that day. And I don't know if it's a Friday going into a weekend where people have the time right away to do it, or if it's a Monday where everything's kind of settled out. I went to work, I come back, and I'm reading my mail that day. I don't know. And it varies, too, as well as our average voter is 60 years old. I would imagine most of those are retired, so the work week doesn't really matter. A Friday is not that much different to them.
I read my mail as to what's in it with it.
Yeah.
When I get the Harbor Freight deal and the flyer from the courier about spring sales or anything like that, and all the sales stuff, I don't generally read anything else that's in there. I just go through it to see if there's anything, and it's a lot of junk mail. I just heave them.
Yeah.
But the day that I get envelopes, like from the BAA or from my doctor or something like that, the day and the DMV, then I'll sit there and open every piece of it.
Yeah.
So I can't say what day that is.
Yeah. I don't know that it matters, and I don't know that we have the luxury to figure it out.
I don't think
we
do it. This is a timing thing now,
yeah.
Not a day of the week.
I would imagine it probably can't go out too early on this April 20th, that week when the ballots are starting to get out. Sooner.
Well, ballots, I don't think they're going to go out until
April 20th. April 26th.
That's when the ballots go out. Right, okay. And the voter paper goes out the 15th?
I think part of them have already, I think they're
already out.
They're kind of going. Yeah.
Okay.
Which isn't a bad thing, but I think, you know, you definitely want them there before the ballots, and if they go out on the 26th.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because you got those people that as soon as they get their ballot, they check the boxes.
Did I say April 26th? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll go down and see Connie as soon as we're done here.
Okay. Yeah, that should be done definitely tomorrow, not today, but today's tomorrow.
I'm just curious about what she found out about the flyer, because Terry brought up some stuff. Well, if you turn it this way, you can't. You know, it can't run it through the machine and so on and so forth. She brought up a lot of logistics things that we didn't think about.
Terry.
Sorry.
No, not at all. That's good stuff.
Just looking at myself.
Oh, right.
Well, I mean, it's better than to have them all printed up and addressed right over something else, you know.
I'm pretty on this, back to this Grace Roots thing. They need to start small. Contributing to properties when we have, you've been working on having a residential veterans opportunity situation, mm-hmm. that's a priority. This is a priority. They are not going to get both, in my opinion, just out of the gate. That veterans one is another track or parallel track kind of a deal, and I don't want that as something we're doing.
I'd like to know what Asante's doing with Southern Oregon Hospital up there.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there, and you know that could be a fantastic veterans thing because they've got a cabin, they got full cooking facilities, and they've got everything.
Yeah.
And the rooms, you know, are already there. I don't think it's a mold issue. I don't think they have a
because
it's got a Duralast roof on it. But I don't know. That came up last night. We suggested last night it's a homeless thing, you know, right in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
But still, it is an option to be something.
Yeah.
You know, and if the veterans moved in there, they're not typically your homeless, not like our group here. Another thing that was brought, and maybe we can have a discussion on somewhere along the line, is I was talking to Officer Verge from City Police, and I said, what can we do about that? You know, about the our target area in between the
ambassador. Loitering right out there,
because it seems that. And I see more, and I think one of the office girls said, gosh, it looks like there's more people than ever there.
It really seems.
And I think it is because St. Vincent de Paul, this is their first week with the mobile truck. And rather than go anywhere, I don't know where these people are getting all the food, but I just happened to glance out there yesterday, and they had bags of food, like people are bringing them bags of food.
Huh.
And they just sit right there and they throw their stuff all around. And it's, but I asked Officer Verge about it. I says, how do we, we can't do trespass? And he goes, you can't because the county's never wanted us if that's public land and they've never wanted to do anything. I said, well, what would be a scenario where we could trespass on that, where there would be a trespass? He's making a park like they did on the other side of the post office. They took that little strip between the post office and the railroad tracks, and it was just they found a guy in there dead one morning.
Ooh.
He'd been murdered, and because he was sleeping and somebody shot him or killed him, but he was murdered.
Jeez.
This has been about 3 years ago, and they said, whoa, that's it. Now, what do we do to stop that? And they made it a little park, and it's listed in the city's park thing. And I, you know, we've talked about removing the hardscape, you know, City Manager Kubik has mentioned that a couple of times, take the benches out and all the other stuff.
They asked me if I was endorsing that, and I just, that's not the answer. Figure out something else.
Yep.
Make a park, that's fine.
I think when we move, the bus stop will still be there. But
I don't think that's really.
When we move the hub over there, I think we probably are going to, this will just be a stop, and they can also walk over there and it'll be a hub.
I don't think it's tied to the transit. If you stop transit there entirely, I don't think it changes it. I really don't.
Well, you know, I noticed yesterday, and there was all kinds of nefarious stuff going on down there yesterday. I mean, it was crowded. Standing room only,
right.
So to speak. And here came Officer Birch to check out one guy's ID. And it was like you turned the lights on. The cockroaches just scattered. So you got to know that they've got drugs on and stuff. But if we made that some sort of a retreat or a park or something.
Well, it says so you can trespass people if you make it a park.
Mm-hmm.
We can make the whole campus a park because we've got grass everywhere.
Yep. If you want, I'll talk to
library.
Officer Landis.
The library.
Library's got a real issue with it. In fact, it was brought up last night. There were three people from the library said, you know, when I leave here at night, and we have people leaving here at night.
Yep.
We have, you know, in the wintertime especially, you know, people have to go right out that door, and here's all the folks. It's a security issue to me. And so maybe we want to look at that. Kick that around a little bit. If you want, I can talk to Bill Landis and see what his requirements are. But I wouldn't mind making, and we could probably, because they have the same problem over there in the courtyard.
Yeah.
Maybe we could make this whole block.
I don't understand what under the law making it into a park provides you any different statutes. But if there is something out there, I'm not opposed to it.
Well, I'll talk to Bill Landis. And
I have been opposed to removing the benches. They've asked me several times, and that's not the answer, because there are people who do utilize those benches who are not causing a problem, and they don't bother me at all that they're sitting there. That's what they're there for. So it's, I don't want to put 5%, but now it's 50 or 100% of the.
Well, they're all waved now. They're clear around, and there's a dozen of them that hang out on ambassador steps and leave a big mess.
Yep.
There's one thing that I did happen to see, and it was, and it didn't warm my heart, but it changed. And that was Judy Ahrens, before she came into the meeting the other day, picked up all the trash.
She does that.
And put it in the.
So does Rika Brown. Except Rika Brown doesn't ask for, you know, accolades. She just does it.
Judy
brings in the bags of trash.
I'm still working on my cup.
The board of commissioners littered out there, you know, chastising us like we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, Judy, I don't litter.
So I'll talk to Bill Landis and see what he thinks, and then we'll run it through legal and see what Wally thinks about it. And if there's something we can do, even if it's for that little spot or. You know, I would like to include the library also.
It would be our campus, our portfolio.
It may be just that the commissioners sign a letter of trespass like Walmart would do, or like Fred Meyer would do, to where they can pick up the phone, call public safety, say, trespass that guy, then he's gone. So.
Yeah, I don't like the lawyering. That's not what this facility is set up for. That's not what...
I would like to. I would like to see the DHS building up there just closed down for 1 month and see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
That's it for me.
I hope Mr. Morgan's testimony is well today.
I do too.
I'm working on a Burns Day issue, the DEQ setting air quality days. I've heard from a number of people over the years who say there's so few burn days that they don't get an opportunity to reduce their
fuels
around their place. They can't get to it. They got all these piles sitting up, and if they don't get to it before the fire season, then they've got all this fuel sitting around. It's a real challenge when they're making a determination maybe over there. Sure, air quality is terrible over there, but out in Jerome Prairie, there's no problem. And why can't we burn?
Well, and air quality follows Metropolitan Planning Organization. The MPO keeps a close eye on that. We're way, way, way down. That chart, it was funny to watch the chart, how far the middle of the MPO is down a long ways until you get to the big fire in September 2 years ago, our particulate shot way up.
Douglas, yeah.
But they overlook those spikes they overlook. So Middle Rogue has met and exceeded their goal for 2025.
Here's something. There was this, a constituent suggested we assess a fee on each tax bill. So instead of going to the, I don't know how that works.
Do what?
Assess a fee on each tax bill.
Uh-huh.
Can't reduce their taxes because we don't set the rates for the other tax districts. I don't know. It was a way to do the assessor's taxation collection.
Yeah.
By just putting the fee on the tax bill and reducing everybody's taxes. So if we charge everybody $50 to do their taxes, but we reduce everybody's, you know, the school district, there'd be a percentage reduction to get that $50 collected. So maybe it's $22 from the
school.
So
you're getting it up front before it even gets to the treasurer.
Yes.
It comes in.
It's a line item on the taxes. So if your tax statement was $1,000, the money available to go to the districts would only be $950. $50 would come off the top to pay for that tax bill. So everybody would be reduced proportionally, you know. So you only have $950 to distribute to everybody's taxes.
So instead of school getting $480, they'll get $472 or something like that.
So I think it's the same principle.
It is. The percentage thing would be much easier, but makes sense.
Do you think we should have sometime between now and then a press release on the directive of the board to do the prioritization of people's tax revenues to that eventually? Just be thinking about maybe the timing and when that would be something we would roll out as a new perspective of this board.
I'm not sure how many people will understand. Some people will, other ones will look at, see, I told you, they're already messing with it. They won't know that we're...
I think we just set a budget directive. It doesn't have anything to do with the levy.
Doesn't have anything to do with the levy.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it'll
yeah,
be
yeah.
All right.
That'll be a future...
I like it. I already do. You know, it should have happened a long time ago, but it couldn't have because of the timber receipts.
Do you feel like there's any merit to having a cannabis committee? I feel like there's a lot of people in the community, and I know Julie's got her ad hoc, her own group, weighing in on stuff, but in anticipation of the May 16th, of the non-binding question, regardless of how it's answered, it's going to give us a directive on which way to go. And it feels like there's enough angst in the community about the future that there would be that buffer having established the committee. I was opposed to it initially. It's like, I'm not going to establish a committee on viticulture or anything else. I don't need that. But this one's different. I kind of feel like, and there's definitely a lot of interest. I mean, Mark Seligman brought it up. I got a text message about it.
Yep.
Just the man we wanted to talk to.
Hey.
Literally.
I'm in the room. That's your second word.
Okay.
Literally well, burning your...
Just hang out till he leaves, will you?
Really? I'll just sit behind him.
If you could. No, I agree. That was something that I know that Commissioner Morgan and I both mentioned in our run-up to this office.
Okay.
Is that... especially with as huge it is and as little direction we're getting from the state on the industry itself, that I'd like the people that actually live next door and live around it, I think they're the ones we need to hear from.
Yeah.
Because you call OLCC and say, hey, what am I supposed to do about this? They go, sorry, that's not in our wheelhouse. And they hang out. I've been giving people OLCC's phone number when they have the problem.
Oh, yeah.
I said, we don't have anything, you don't need a sheriff deputy out there. You need the National Guard. So we don't have the money. They get the money. Call them.
It's kind of like the company store. I don't ever see OLCC finishing paying themselves for a program. They have total jurisdiction and authority to make it as large or small as they want.
Yeah.
It's like there will never be any revenue sharing with the counties or cities.
Not a bit.
Mr. Landis, would you be free?
It's all.
We'd be honored if you grace us with
your time. You call OLCC and you say, hi, I've got a real problem here.
At least the young would be. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well.
That's a sharp tie.
Thank you. I didn't pick it up, but I'll take the credit.
There you go.
Thanks.
You're right.
Take the tie off in his presence.
I don't even dress myself.
Beat you up. I have to go buy a couple.
That's true.
I've got a couple of the bolo ties in here that I'm gonna wear just to make.
I think there's an age where you don't have to worry about that anymore. So I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
I'm not that far away either.
Hey, you're moving up there.
I would never tell him what to do. Discuss it. His own
so I went to. I was hearing what you're saying. I went to a meeting last summer with Representative Wilson and all the powers to be.
Yeah.
County planning. Sheriff was there. I was there, and even Medford, Jackson County was represented with law enforcement. And it was clear when I asked those questions, kind of like Tom Hanks in the movie Big. Kind of like I don't get it. I asked about, from a recreational standpoint, how many OLCC investigators or enforcement officers have been assigned, and they said 11. So I said, great. How many of those are working in Southern Oregon? Well, 9 are dedicated to the Portland metro area.
Dispensaries.
And 2 for the other 35 counties.
The rest of the
year. So there's no OLCC inspections done here last year. So if you follow the money, I mean, the third highest revenue stream in the state is, as you know, liquor tax and beer and wine tax. So from a standpoint of enforcement and tax collection, if the Portland metro areas would benefit the most with the most enforcement and accountability as far as the sale of the marijuana, then they don't really plan, in my opinion, to do much as far as enforcement here for the taxation and stuff. And you know that bulk marijuana is not really being sold here anyway.
Right.
It's mostly leaving our state and to other jurisdictions. So that's the problem I have when you're sitting in that room trying to solve the problem or talk about tax revenue, when really there's no attempt, it appears, to want to really gain the accountability down here to help with revenue from that.
Well, that's why we tried to get the methodology and the way they split it up changed, because we're their supplier. If we one time just decided, you know what, we're done with it. You know, the people are going to send us to the border, and we'll have a little more direction when we get the our deal back on this in May, because we have a exploratory question on the ballot. But if we just decide no more dope growing in Southern Oregon, we're done. They got to go buy it from out of state now. I always took care of my supplier. He was right in up there on my list.
But the only counter that I know with this couple, and it just came to me, all regulation is going to curb supply. There's nothing regulation does to improve the volume of supply. It'd be like, well, you can only have a certain number of plants, or you're growing those in the wrong area. So really, from a supply standpoint, regulation doesn't improve their ability to get their product. It's only going to reduce it and cost them money and take away from their share. I don't think there's any incentive from a supply standpoint for them to enforce any kind of rate. The more the merrier, the more off the cuff, the more, you know, unregulated.
But see, one of the things we need to do is we need to make that industry down here credible.
Yeah.
The young man that I talked to in my office, and he's a grower, we just worked on his plot.
Sure.
And I advise him, you know, speakers off, let's just talk. And I said, would you have any problem? And I was talking about my dollar per square foot thing of cultivated cannabis. And he says, you know, how much? I said, well, one plant, 7x7, we'll just put, that's $49. And if you have 10 plants, it's $409. You know, 100 is $4,900. Dollar per square foot, that's the property tax. And I mean, do with the plant, because we can't do anything with plant, seeds, roots, leaves, stems, doesn't matter. And he says, you thought about it, and you've seen the amount of greenhouses you got. He goes, you know, that wouldn't be a bad deal. And I says, because what it would do for you, I said, we have a sheriff that would love to put on his bulletproof. He puts it on every day and puts his gun on. And when you call, he wants nothing more than to protect you and what you do for a living. But he can't, because you don't have any money. And I showed him where all the taxation that he paid, all the fees he pays, all the licensing he does, not one dime of it comes back to Josephine County to fund that sheriff's department. Not a dime of it. And he says, yeah, but look at all the money. I said, no, all the money you spend with Fields Home Improvement, that's his income tax. That doesn't do anything back to this building.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I never know that. I never knew that. So in other words, we're not. I said, that's why when you want respect from me, I really can't give it to you, because you say, well, I'm paying your wages. No, you're not. Not even a
slice.
Because you know why? You're agriculture.
And there's two key points to that, too, and where the industry's going, I believe, is you're going to see more indoor grows, because one of the things that from, you know, unless something changed on the federal government level as far as enforcement is, the old power search warrants we used to use and things like that are no longer. Also, from a security standpoint, where they fear their open gardens, you now control the environment. You also have a year-round operation as opposed to just a seasonal operation.
Yeah.
And so the next era or phase of this is going to basically be that. You'll see that start to happen. I think the biggest issue about what we're missing, world according to me, is we control liquor through the state, and that money gets dispersed, as you know, through the different counties and stuff.
But it gets dispersed according to population, and that's where we lose.
And that's right. I think that's still a disproportionate issue. But Canada went through this. Canada created state overseen grows and dispensaries, just like we've done with liquor. And that tax then is absolutely collected. Anything outside of that is black market. It's enforced and basically, you know, done with law enforcement. But until we get to a place where we're going to control that, you won't control the black market. You won't control the indoor grows, which I believe that's what's going to happen, so they don't have to be so open. And so unless we as a state get a hold of what we're already doing with alcohol, it's like this is a no-brainer. And Canada went through this, and they've created their own state-run grows and dispensaries. It makes no sense to try to wrangle and struggle with what we can or can't control and how the disbursement is until that begins to be looked at. It's like sometimes, you know, success leaves clues, and there are other people, like I say, Canada, that has gone through this. And
success for who, though? If I'm a grower and I have access to a black market, and I'm still doing stuff a little bit on the side, legit or whatever, just to cover my bases, there's no advantage for me to support that. And I will be vehemently opposed to it, because I like the system where it's just kind of, you know, it's pretending to be good and real and honest and upfront.
But here's another thing.
And they won't support it. My point is, if we're really truthful about collecting taxes and taxing, the state will have to take a position to actually.
And I think the people, when they voted for Measure 91 and Josephine County was split right down the middle, those who voted for it that weren't interested in the industry or smoking on themselves thought there was going to be a reasonable system.
They thought there would be something
like,
coming.
Why don't we? It's already existing here. Let's bring it out of the shadows. Mm-hmm. Let's put it out for everybody to see and collect some tax revenue off of it. Well, it's out of the shadows, so to speak, but we're not collecting any tax.
Didn't happen that way.
Well, the guy that talked to you.
When I talk to Marlon, I says, in the end of the day, Marlon, you just want legitimacy, don't you? And he said, that'd be really nice. And I said, you're not going to get that until you pay your fair share. Your neighbor who puts up with your smell and your lights and your dogs and all that other stuff, if you were talking over the fence one time and a guy says, what irritates me is you walking around with these wads of $100 bills driving a new Escalade and you're not paying a blasted thing for that. And he goes, you don't realize that I've got an acre here. I pay $43,650 in taxes, property taxes every year. I am contributing to county government. And if it's a property tax, it stays within the county. It doesn't have to go to the state for approval or anything. It stays right here. We put it on the ballot, and you say, yeah, I'll check that box. Sure, I'll go up $1 a square foot for cultivated cannabis. You bet I will. And I don't think it's that very small. That'll be opposed by everybody, and it will not. I've had a lot of people, even growers, say they would.
I think your point is well taken. I think there was a lot of misconceptions that we're now realizing isn't going to come to fruition, but with the Marlins of the world in this, what compels a rural grower here in Josephine County to want to register and be legitimate when there absolutely is no enforcement? I mean, I don't know why I would say.
Because they really want to do it the right way.
There
I think
are a
some
lot
of them,
people that do.
They're absolutely, well, this Marlin kid, he walked in, you know, and I mean, you've seen the guy. He's not your typical, doesn't smell like goats or anything else. He's absolutely. He came in and I says, I just said, "Are you a cannabis grower?" Yeah, I am. But he's doing everything the right way. He's going through planning. He's going through public works to get.
Because I think he's under the impression that he probably has to. But eventually, when he figures out, there's nobody going to do anything.
And there are already those, and there's an industry internal to that industry already pissed off people because they know that neighbors, sometimes it's water issues that you wouldn't get approval. And but I'm just saying that's one of the many issues that is surrounding this, but there is a fix if someone truly wants to fix it. And again, why do we, if that was true...
Why are we reinventing the wheel when the Canadian things
were... Why would liquor be controlled by the state to make sure they got the tax revenue? And then why would we say this industry, which is right now just a free-for-all and a mess and stuff, we're trying to regulate and figure out when we can't? So I think that's it. It's even weird to be in those meetings thinking somehow we're going to solve the problems until really we want to solve the problem.
Do you, and we just had a question, we were just kicking around, what's your opinion on cannabis task force or cannabis committee to get people involved?
There's been talk of this for probably almost a year.
I'm great if there's something that can be done. I'm great. You know this about your time and everything. Meetings for meetings don't. But if there's something that could come out, then I'm all for that. I think sometimes getting the right people, just like the meeting with Representative Wilson, to be able to ask the questions of OLCC and OHA as far as enforcement, it's like, okay, then this is just a crazy system right now as far as whatever's been legislated.
Yeah, those questions have been asked. The others have been explored about changing the formula for distribution and all of this stuff. What is there really left to talk about? Because we can't implement what you're talking about at a county level. Mm-hmm. We could do, I don't even know, but that's not a reason to establish a committee to ask Commissioner DeYoung's question. That's a legal question that can be answered before the end of next week. Do we have the legal authority to impose a cultivation property tax, or it's an assessment adjustment on cultivated agriculture land, or something like that?
Right. Well, I brought it up to Michelle Baker, and boy, she just blew up at me and said she'd find it as unconstitutional. I said I'd like to see that in writing where it would be unconstitutional. Michelle, with all due respect, you're just throwing a word out because, you know, this one rubbed your fur the wrong way.
Yeah.
And, boy, you're going to lash back. So it's like when Laura Glover yells at me about setbacks from stream beds and stuff, and I already know the answer. I wouldn't have asked her the question. The reason we stopped you walking by is we're getting a larger population down here in the breezeway. And yesterday...
We hit that three times a day.
Yeah.
And
three times a day, and it's not going away. And I think it's not. It's because, and I was at the homeless meal last night over here at the library, and they said, well, you know, there was three ladies there from St. Vincent de Paul, three or four. They said, well, we just started the mobile food truck
Monday.
And it, you know, it's not really, you know, we're really down on the amount of people we're serving. And I said, would that possibly be because it's like a fish ladder, the fish have to get used to it. And they said, we're not saying it's not working, that it's not a good idea, but that's what we're seeing. And I think we're seeing an increase since Monday down here. What I ask you, Chief, is there something we can do as a board to sign something like Walmart signs a trespass deal? Can we sign a trespass thing with that public land?
Yeah, no. And what we've done throughout the years is, and I asked Simon, I know has been busy and stuff, but one of the things when you make parking spots too available, and so the number of benches and tables in that particular area, it's really become a social center. And so while there should be some seated benches or something for those that want to rest or waiting for the bus stop, which we have the bus stop, which is supposed to move next spring or summer.
Yeah, somewhere.
It's actually, the stop is not going to move. It being an issue of a hub is going to move. So buses will stop like
okay.
they do everywhere else, but it
won't be the hub where people drop.
It won't be just
right.
staying there, catching up for time. If they get there early before 2 and they're supposed to take off at 2, they won't be waiting there. That will happen.
Yeah.
At the hub.
So you may remember in some of the locations in the city where we have to remove benches to actually change behavior.
Yeah, now they're by chat, by Plaza Sorensen and a Golden Rule. I take those benches out of there because it's just not moving.
Well, and so what's happening down here is this is more of a camping spot than it actually is the purpose of the benches. And so we have, I counted them, I actually took an aerial photo, and it kind of proposed to Simon that maybe we could sit down and meet to discuss that. But generally that's part of your problem, and if we can start to minimize the numbers, then pretty much it becomes less of an attractive spot.
Merge and I were talking about maybe making that a small park,
mm-hmm.
and you can trespass from a park.
Yep. If they violate city ordinances or laws, then you can trust people for a certain amount of time from there because of the violations or the...
So then we're interested in exploring the option of making the campus one of those parks.
Our overnighters are over here at the library, and when the employees leave the library, they're uncomfortable, very uncomfortable walking out to their car in
the
evening time.
And that's the hot spot which we've worked with them to regulate because that creates smartphone issues and things for people to use. So they actually have, I think, that on a timer now so it's not too... we've worked with those type of businesses that come up with creative ways to make sure that it's not the camping on the lawn, the bushes, that kind of thing. And sometimes we find that the hotspot was unknown or they forgot to turn off the Wi-Fi hotspot so that people aren't using it.
Well, I know that down there on the other side of the post office, between the post office and the tracks, we had a lot of problem there. We made that a little park, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So are you interested in that,
I am.
Chairman?
That sounds good.
And then basically that allows the city to use city ordinances to regulate the behavior if it's breaking ordinances. And today, I think there was one arrest of smoking marijuana, as well as the standard open containers, which continues to populate.
We saw that yesterday.
I know that court administrator has shared that staff is feeling uncomfortable going in and out of that area. So really, the bench issue, which is one, which if we could start to look at the numbers there, and then two, if that was turned into a park, we'd certainly be able to enforce municipal code.
I was thinking it would be a great place for a spray park. Just
so probably
in a terminal of spray
park first before removing infrastructure that legitimate public should have the opportunity and access to. I want to figure out a way to do it other than removing benches, because the few that are remain, these people don't have any problems sitting on the ground, you know, when the weather's okay, or even when it isn't. They're sitting on the asphalt. Even right now, there's people sitting on the ground. So I don't know that removing a bench, but with the people that are there, those clients, the other people, they're not inclined to use a bench anyway. So there's an argument to remove all of the benches entirely.
It's not exactly
a place to sit.
Right, and that's not my point. Like, those square tables are nice for a purpose. The longer the bench, it becomes a bed and a haven,
yeah,
and a tarped area and stuff. And so really, it's environmental design we're talking about. You still should have the ability for people to stop and rest. But when you make it too comforting and stuff, what we have is like some of the benches downtown. What we did is we actually put that handrail in the middle, and just from that design, it was a seated bench, not a laying down sleeping area.
I like that.
Can you get us? Yeah, you study this because you have Riverside Park and all the other. Can you get us some suggestions? Just analyze that quickly sometime. You know, with Leslie and whatnot, to say, you know, because they know what's going to work and what isn't. I think we ought to entertain it.
Okay, your square table bench setup is fine. It's the long, elongated run in those coves that become more of a haven than they are a resting spot. So
okay.
We could remodel it.
Let's take a look at that.
Yeah.
And also include the library in there. I don't know if their vegetation over there makes it so that there's hedges and stuff so people crawl back underneath. You know, cutting along that stuff along the parkway where we cut it up this high. So that those spruce trees where people didn't have a place just meet in there and make a deal.
Well, and those that remember Riverside Park, the river access used to be full of blackberries and it was a haven, and so we had to change that whole dynamic, so that changed behavior there too.
Yeah, yeah.
As well as the gazebo down
there. We're interested in that because right now, you know, and that's what I was talking to Mr. Burge, and he says, you know, I can't do anything about it. I can't trespass these people because there's no trespass order. And he suggested, you know, you could make it a small park or something like we did down there by the post office. So
if you guys want to reach out to Aaron on that particular topic about the park issue, because that's above my pay grade, and then I'll get
crime. No, you made more than he did.
No. At least I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm supposed to know what you made. But what I'll do is have crime prevention make a recommendation on the bench layout and what we would. And there's always a starting point. Like we're not going to be overzealous. But I can tell you that the elongated benches are just basically a haven versus the square seated.
Right, I can see that. I remember the time we put those hoop things into the armrest deal.
Yep, changed it. And we had to take out a bench at 7th and G. That was a problem. Last year we took out the ones there between Rick Chapman's little walkway and stuff because they were basically just a beer haven. And that changes behavior, and the business owners are happier now that
that came up an awful lot last night in our discussion. And people said, well, you know, some people are really against that. I said, it depends on if you've got your entire life savings in a business downtown and there's a guy sleeping in your doorway every morning.
Yeah, or they think that the benches will allow, you know, good citizens and choppers to want to rest there. The problem is when it's not utilized by those that are violating code and laws and stuff, people don't feel comfortable actually doing that. So that negates the whole intent and purpose behind it. So I'll get a crime prevention recommendation to you to look at as far as the bench layout. We have an aerial view we took.
Great.
And you see what we think.
Sounds good.
And then the part thing you guys can take on, we'll do, Aaron.
Got it.
So we don't get in trouble.
Thank you.
Good seeing you.
Thanks a lot. You'll walk by our door more rapidly, I'm sure, next time.
Take the elevator.
Anything else? I've got a 3 o'clock.
Nope, that's it.
With nothing further, the board is adjourned here today on Thursday, April 6, 2017 at 2:54 p.m.